Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Full Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. Romero and Chavez, Eddie, are you 10-8? I'm 10-8.
Jess, I'm 10-8. We're reporting for duty, so I'm a little tardy. Excuse me, we missed a segment there.
Yeah, some technical difficulties. I think El Diablo did not want us to start the show.
Yeah.
Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. Saint Joseph, Cherubim, pray for us. Eddie, I want to talk about the importance of when somebody is diabolically afflicted. What a priest wants to do is they want to drive out the diabolical, but how do you do it? One of the ways that you do it, or the way that the Catholic way of doing it, see, the Protestant way of doing it is this. I feel bad. I call up a Protestant deliverance team. I'm being attacked, vexed, annoyed, harassed. I'm hearing noises, seeing shadow people. I go to the Protestant deliverance team. They all put their right hands all over my body. They pray over me. Maybe for a long time, heartfelt, spontaneous prayers. And after 30 minutes, now who knows, maybe an hour, I feel really good emotionally. So I leave. Wow, I feel so good.
A lot of support, Jess. They have a lot of support with the Protestant model.
A bunch of people prayed over me. Yeah. My emotions were triggered. And they prayed over me in Jesus' name. I felt some like something flowing through my body, something good. And so you go home, and a week later, or 2 weeks later, a month later, you're calling back the Protestant deliverance team, and you're saying, "Help! Help! These shadow people are here again. I'm seeing voices. I'm hearing this constant loop in my head to kill myself." And so they go back and forth like a yo-yo. The Catholic model, Eddie, is, let's not forget who was one of the first exorcists, if not the first exorcist that we know of notoriety. His name was Saint Benedict. He was the 5th century monk. Well, what's he famous for? He's the patron saint of evil, by the way. And Saint Michael's actually the patron saint of exorcists, but Saint Benedict is a patron saint against evil. Well, what is Saint Benedict? Is he famous for historically? What are monasteries? Monasteries are fortresses of prayer. Guess how we conquered the barbarians and the Vikings? You've seen these guys in the movie, The Gladiator, Vikings and barbarians. Not an easy pagan to convert. You know how we converted them? It wasn't through war. It was through the monasteries in Europe by Saint Benedict that he founded. They became fortresses of prayer. And this is what chiseled away at the hardened heart of the Vikings, the Vandals, the Visigoths, and the barbarians. And they became Catholic Christians. So Father Ripperger has looked back at the Saint Benedict model. And he says, okay, how do we evangelize Europe from these demonic plagues of barbarians, Vikings, Vandals, and Visigoths? It was fortresses of prayer called monasteries. So Father has went back to old Catholic principles, and he puts somebody who's diabolically afflicted, he puts them on a prayer protocol, a powerful prayer protocol. Why? Because at Liber Christi, the goal is to get the penitent, next the petitioner, penitent, and ergamen, is to get the petitioner in a 30-day prayer protocol to turn him personally into a monastery, to turn him personally into like a monstrance, a nuclear warhead of prayer, to turn him into a prayer warrior, as the word goes. And so we're going to be going through the prayer protocol right now. 80% of people that are diabolically afflicted. Did you guess the number? I'm going to say it again. 8 out of 10 people that go see an exorcist associated with Liber Christi, 8 out of 10 are relieved, set free, liberated completely after 30 days of turning their body and soul into a prayer fortress, into a monastery. Eddie?
Just, that's an amazing number, because you and I have background with this type of ministry, and we understand the high failure rate. Yeah, the high failure rate, the recidivism, the people keep coming back. And so 8 out of 10 is nothing to
that's huge,
cry about. It's huge. And that leaves a smaller amount of people, Jess, that have to be worked on with exorcism sessions. And so that helps the lack of priests, the lack of people available. So it's just good all around number.
Yeah, that's again, so the real serious cases of full possession, which are very few, then the priest can really focus on that. But again, it even makes it easier. Father Ripperger and his team say, once somebody's gone through the prayer protocol, even if they do need the full rite, chapter 2 and 3, the full rite of exorcism, he says it's very easy to drive the demon out after this, because their body's been prepared. The demon's already been softened up because they've turned their body into a prayer fortress. So let's go. A lot of people keep emailing me, what's the protocol? You can go to my website. You can download this article. It's called,
Are You Diabolically Afflicted?
Are You Diabolically Afflicted? It's a free PDF download from my website. Everything we're saying is right there. So let's go through an energumen, or somebody who's diabolically afflicted. We don't know if he's an energumen yet. So the prayer protocol that he would be put in. First thing, Liber Christi team would say, you got to start the Angelus 3 times a day. 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. Why? Because more Catholics are praying around the world at that time. So you're uniting your prayers with more Catholics on planet Earth, 6, 12, and 6. That's the monastery and the abbeys and the convent's time of prayer. So somebody who's spiritually afflicted may say, well, I don't get up at 6. Father Ripperger and his team, they say, well, too bad. Put your clock on for 5:55 so you can be up at 6 and you can start your 6 a.m. prayers. And you can go back to bed if you want, but you have to do the 6 a.m. prayer. Now, they'll have a lay person assigned, kind of walking the person, somebody from the team, a catechist light. And so they'll call them up, you know, every couple of days. Okay. Did you do your 6:12, 6 prayer? Well, yeah, I did it on Monday. I didn't do it on Tuesday. I didn't wake up at 6. On Thursday, I forgot the 6 p.m. prayer, but I did the other two. And on Friday, I forgot. Again, I didn't wake up at 6. I just, you know, I just didn't hear my alarm. So the catechist for the Liber Christi team will say, okay, go back to day one. What? Come on, I'm already on day 5. No, you're going back to day one because you missed one of the prayers. This is strict. This is the Father Ripperger's team puts you through a strict monastic discipline in order for you to reorient your faculties. You're going to hear that word faculties a lot. The word faculty, St. Thomas Aquinas, means it means the power of your soul. Prayer. This is meant to strengthen the power of your soul, the faculties, the intellect, and the will. Eddie, so what's the next prayer that Father puts you through? You got it right there in front of you, I think.
Yeah, just, and this is the information that I love to make the analogies. This you mentioned the other day, Hell Week, for us football players. Well, this is like Hell Week. You know, you're trying to run sprints and somebody falls or somebody, too slow. Hey, no, you're going to start again. We're not going to continue it. We're going to start over again. That's what's happening with these. The next prayer, Jesse.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because this is how you gain the most benefit from this particular diet of prayers that the Father's giving us.
And let me mention one last thing on the Angelus. Also, the reason it's very effective, it's because also around the world, holy bells are ringing at 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m., yeah, which also has a powerful effect to drive away demons. And the third thing, the Angelus that's being prayed at 6, 12, and 6, it's the essence of Christianity. It's a prayer remembering the incarnation. And this is something that drives demons crazy. It drives them away because this is the reminder of why their leader was cast out and why they were all cast out of heaven once upon a time, because they rejected to accept that God would become a man. So three times a day, basically, you're saying the doctrine that they hate the most and the doctrine that got him kicked out of heaven.
Yeah, just those ringing bells must sound horrific. It must sound like bombers dropping bombs.
And also the words that we're saying, because it's the incarnation.
Right.
This is what they fear.
It reminds them.
Reminds them, exactly.
Yes. And so the next prayer, just here we have, is the Auxilium Christian Orum prayers. Those prayers are suggested to be prayed three times a day. And just essentially, these prayers are attached to the end of a rosary. There's a St. Michael invocation there. There's a guardian angel prayer. So Christ's mercy is proclaimed within the Auxilium Christian Orum prayers. And that's the beauty of praying this, is that the beauty that somebody is reminded of God's mercy here by saying the prayer slowly, meaningfully. This is part of the Auxilium Christian Orum dynamic of prayer.
And all the prayers there are really handpicked. Because you'll find that the Auxilium Christian Orum prayers, there's a heavy emphasis on Mary's intercession. It's basically Marian deliverance prayers. And this is something that the church has gone back to, because this is something that we kind of walked away with as a result of Protestant influence in the Catholic Church. It was just Mary had nothing to do in deliverance. The Auxilium Christian Orum is basically Marian deliverance prayers, because we know from Genesis 3:15, she plays a pivotal role in driving out Satan based on the promises that God the Father gave the world in Genesis 3:15 and gave the Blessed Virgin Mary. And also, in the Auxilium Christian Orum, you find the litanies of the blood of Jesus. Those are probably the most powerful litanies against the diabolical, because you're calling upon the thing that he fears the most, the blood of Jesus. And then the rest of the prayers are what are known as binding prayers. Binding prayers. What does binding mean? Remember, Jesus Christ uses that word. He says you have to bind the strong man. Well, how do you bind the strong man? You know, bind means tying him up in a rope. The only way you can bind the strong man, Jesus says, is by a stronger man binding the strong man. The strong man is the devil. Who's the stronger man? Jesus and Our Lady. So we go to them in these Auxilium Christian Orum prayers to tie up, to tie up the devil and drive him out of our houses, drive him out of our lives.
Jess, the beauty of this whole phase one prayer protocol that you put forth for us to see in this PDF.
Well, I just cut and paste.
Jess, the thing is this, it's a beautiful, beautiful, this is actually the full power, prayer power that the church has. This is the entire toolbox that Father Ripperger's put together here, Jess. And you know, that's part of our the toolbox that we should be using whenever we're afflicted, or even if we want to prevent that from happening, just because we both know that the reality of this situation that is this. If somebody is thinking about, oh, I might be possessed, I might be obsessed, there's something going on, there's some demonic affliction, then the chances are that that individual has lacked his prayer power, and that makes him vulnerable. So that's what we're talking about. Okay, we're going to be right back. Next segment, Jesus 911, two-man car. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, giving you some Catholic briefing and intel. We're talking about the it's called the Phase 1 Protocol. It's a 30-minute, it's a 30-day powerful prayer prescription for those that believe they're diabolically afflicted. This is the way Father Ripperger trains exorcists around the world to put the penitent, the one coming to seek help, to put them on this 30-day prayer prescription before they even go any further, because it's also used as a diagnostic. Because if the person is not possessed, this person is going to get healed within 30 days, because this prayer is going to basically... It's going to reorient your intellect. It's going to snap back your lower faculties into place, because you're entering into a life of discipline. Demons fear order. They love disorder. I'll say it again. Demons love disorder. They fear order. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 14:33. The Bible says, since God is not the God of disorder, but of peace. So if God's not the God of disorder, who is the God of disorder, lowercase g? The devil is. What is God like? He likes order. How do we know that? Colossians 2:5. St. Paul writes, "For even if I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing as I observe your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." So this prayer protocol is meant to put the petitioner, his back, your intellect, which is the highest power of your soul, to put your intellect back into proper Catholic order. And your intellect now is going to affect your will. You're going to snap your lower faculties back into place by entering into a life of order for 30 days. And hopefully this will continue. So, yes. Eddie, the third prayer that we do in the protocol is what?
It's a confiteor. That's a prayer at noon, Jess. And that, you know, I've got to just back up what you said, Jess, because the people that are diabolically afflicted, they live in a life of chaos, Jess. They're uncertain. They have certain things that in their life that they don't understand. They're being confused. They have thought tampering. All these things are occurring, which creates chaos in their life. And what we're talking about here is ordering people back to where they should be, where we should be focusing on the things of God, praying. There's some beautiful examples just of the stories of that people have during the course of these good prayers. When things stop immediately, this is what's happening in this ministries throughout the United States, especially in Liber Christo. But the confiteor is the prayer that we pray at Mass. That's one of the prayers of the penitential rite. Yes. And so that admits our sin. There's a self mortification there. Just when we strike our breasts, right? That's part of a mortification.
And humility too, Eddie. Which demons exactly. Hate humility,
right?
It helps you enter into humility,
right?
Like, dang, I'm a sinner.
Yep. And then, it expresses a desire to be in the beatific vision. It expresses a desire to want to be close to God. And this is what the confiteor does for us. It brings us into the reality of this short life, just because at the end of it, that's what we're going to desire.
That's right. So the next three prayers, Eddie, that Father has, that Liber Christo has on the protocol prayer is then, again, you said it, at 12 noon, you add the confiteor. At 6 p.m., you add the act of contrition, and then along with the 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m., you also pray Psalm 130 three times a day. So Liber Christo exorcist, they have the penitent. The next three prayers are all penitential. That's all they are. Because remember, penitential prayers lead the soul to humility. Well, what's the virtue that the demon fears the most? St. John Vianney tells us. Humility. What's the virtue that the demon feels the most? St. Anthony of Padua tells us, another exorcist. He says, humility. So the next three prayers, kind of confiteor 12 noon, you add it onto your prayer list. And by the way, you can get this from my website. It's called Am I Spiritually Afflicted? It's a free PDF file. It's a download. This is all there. In fact, you don't have to be possessed to do this. This is actually good stuff for, I know a lot of Catholics that just do the protocol, every two or three times a year, they'll do this 30-day thing. It's just to like into deep training, into like, you know, Hell Week training, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I know a lot of people that just do this on their own without being afflicted. It's just they want to just turn their bodies and souls into a mighty prayer, a mighty fortress. But Psalm 130, I'm going to flip over to it because this psalm, Kyle and Dan and others in Liber Christo, when you have a penitent saying, "Oh Eddie, I can't pray, it hurts, I can't do the rosary, I hear all these voices, I'm in a lot of pain, I'm choking when I do these prayers, I can't." Well, look at what Psalm 130 says. Okay. Psalm 130. "Out of the depths I cry to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." So stop there. The depths. This is a person that's crying out to God from the deepest parts of the earth. The Jews call this Sheol. The Greeks call this Hades. Okay? We're talking about, you know, the deepest recesses, the bowels of planet Earth. Okay? We Catholics maybe say purgatory. And notice what it says there, that even in the deepest parts of the earth, or let's just say the deepest parts of depression, the deepest parts of your emotions being attacked. Psalm 130 says that you can still cry out to God. So don't give me this baloney about, I can't pray. Psalm 130 says you can. Even from the deepest parts of your depression, the deepest parts of your soul that are being attacked, you can still pray according to Psalm 130. And what does it say? It says that God will always hear you. God's ears are always going to be attentive. And so Psalm 130, that's also supposed to be added three times a day. It's penitential, but it's also a reminder to the penitent when they start saying, I can't pray. It's too hard. Psalm 130 says, when you cried out to God from the deepest parts of the earth or the deepest parts of your depression, God will answer you. Eddie?
Jess, and Psalms 130 is a whole chapter of the Bible that you can do in less than a minute. There's only eight verses, verses on there, right? So it's very easy to pray three times a day. You just tack it on to the other prayers at six, and that's what you do. You know, I think that people that are afflicted, Jess, they're very affected in what they feel they can or cannot accomplish in the dynamic of being close to the church. And so that's why it's important for us to do these prayers, to get our confidence back, but more, like you said, Jess, the humility, what most resembles the Blessed Virgin Mary, is what the demons hate. They hate it. And humility, you know, I remember Father Crappie preaching, you know, humility, no peace, no heaven. And that's a precise right there. So that's what we have to recall.
Eddie, and if you notice, what all these prayers are meant to do, this is going back to the whole Saint Benedict, the founder of monasteries. It's meant to take the penitent, you know, into a monastic prayer life. Because a lot of Catholics don't have an ordered prayer life, Eddie. And so this monastic discipline that Liber Christo gives to the penitents, it's for the purposes of ordering people's prayer life. And again, when you're praying at 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m., you're joining millions of Catholics on planet Earth in abbeys and monasteries and convents in communal prayer, which is more powerful because there's more people praying at that time. Bells are ringing, blessed bells. So again, it's leading God to flood people at that time, 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m., to flood people with grace from heaven. It's the prayer is actually snapping the lower faculties, which is what demons attack. The lower faculties are the memory, the emotions, the appetites, and the instincts. These monastic, disciplined, ordered prayers, it snaps the lower faculties back into order. It also restores the intellectual and moral clarity to the person because you're repeating the doctrines of the church over and over three times, because that's what prayer is. It's the church's doctrines and dogmas, and that's what purifies the intellect by subjecting the intellect three times a day to the dogmas and doctrines of the Catholic Church. And so the idea is to turn the penitent into a prayer warrior, as described in Ephesians chapter 6. So that now the next thing that is recommended, obviously, is you find some time during the day to pray the Holy Rosary and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. This is mental prayer. Mental prayer is particularly effective against the diabolical. You have the Desert Fathers. They were talking about the power of mental prayer back in the 4th century, even before the Rosary and the Divine Mercy were given to us. You have, for example, St. Isaac of Syria back in 488 AD saying that mental prayer wounds, that means injure, wounds demons, and mental prayer drives out vice, drives vice away from you. And so, why? Because what you're doing, my son-in-law asked me the other day, he goes, yes, me, father-in-law, he goes, why is it that the Rosary and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy are more powerful than just, for example, just saying, when our Father, or a Glory Be or something? I said, okay, I told my son-in-law, and he got it. He's a big boy. I said, if the young Mike Tyson hit you one time, would it hurt? He goes, absolutely, he'd put me on my butt. I said, okay. If the young Mike Tyson, you know, one of the greatest heavyweight boxers in our lifetime, if he hits you 50 times, would that hurt more? Absolutely, it hurt more than if he, okay, I say, that's what happens. You fire off one prayer, that's good. You're firing off 50 prayers. In boxing, we call that punches and bunches. That's what the divine mercy is in the rosary. It's a sustained attack against the diabolical. Eddie?
Jason, look what we pray when we pray the rosary. We're praying the Gospels, Jess. We are praying the events that occur in the four Gospels of the Bible. And so how else can you pound the devil over and over again when you're giving them the rosary? Hail Marys, Our Fathers, Glory Bees. Jess, this is terrifying to the demons. This is how we have to be Mike Tyson in the life of a demon. This is the beauty of it. This is it. Okay, we're going to be right back with more of this protocol from phase one of Libra Cristo. Terry and Eddie. Jess and Eddie, we'll be right back.
Christ's message of love, mercy, and compassion is for all of humanity. The Last Days, the Passion and Death of Jesus the Christ, is a live passion play being performed in Los Angeles and is an opportunity to get up close and personal to Jesus Christ during the season of Lent. Hi, I'm Jonathan Rumi, and I play Jesus Christ, and I'd like to invite you to join us on April 4th, 5th, and Good Friday, April 10th, at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Koreatown for this special presentation. If you're not able to attend the play in person, please consider supporting the ministry by making a donation to help us ensure Christ's message is brought to the world through the arts. For more information, again, go to www.thelastdayspassionplay.com and find, follow, and share us on social media, on Instagram, at The Last Days of Jesus, and on Facebook, at The Last Days of Jesus Passion Play. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we're back. Jess, I want to mention something about what we're talking about today. This is important. There was an old show, an old police show that I used to remember, I used to watch, you know, religiously back in the day. It was called Beretta. And the introduction song to Beretta says, "Don't do the crime if you can't do the time." This is what we're talking about, Jess. We're talking about don't be led into this sin, which could be possession, obsession, whatever it might be, if you can't do the prayers to get out of it. This is what we're talking about. Don't do the crime, the sin, if you can't do the prayer to get out of that sin, because that's where you're going to be, Jess. We know how difficult it is. You know, we joke around and we know that certain people are lazy, this and that comes with it. But the reality is, if you can't pray to get out, who's going to get you out? Because you're the one responsible. No prayer priest or prayer team can get you out of it. You have to do it. And like Libra Cristo proves, 8 out of 10 people are self-deliver using this protocol.
Yeah, because they're turning them again. Once again, we're talking about it. They're turning them into a monastery. Yeah. That's the way Saint Benedict, who's one of the first exorcists on planet Earth in the Catholic Church, That's how he drove out the demon of barbarianism, the Visigoths, Vandals, the Vikings. These guys were, Eddie, you've seen the movie, The Gladiator. These guys were vicious. They were animals. They were worshiping the demon gods, Zeus and Thor and stuff and Poseidon. They were routed out of Europe and converted to Christianity by monasteries, by prayer power. And this is what Liber Christus seeks to do with the penitent. They want to turn them into personal fortresses of prayer. Eddie, I just want to just say a quick prayer. Last night, a Phoenix police officer was killed and two were wounded. And this is near and dear to my heart because my two older sons work the PM watch out in the city of Phoenix. And so his name is he was a commander. He was out there answering calls with the troops.
You don't see that very often. You don't see that very often. Commanders don't do that type of work.
He's out there, stopping a domestic violence. That's what it was with two female officers. Talk about chivalry, because he probably heard the call. He saw two female officers were dispatched to a domestic violence call. And you know how those go south pretty fast, Eddie.
Yeah.
And this guy probably left his desk and strapped it on and went out there. And without a doubt, he entered first, and he was shot with a rifle. His name's Commander Greg Carnicle. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Eternal rest grant unto Greg Carnicle, Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon him. May the soul of Commander Greg Carnicle from the Phoenix Police Department, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. And Lord, we also pray for the two other officers, their two female officers who were also shot there. The recovering in the hospital, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to give them the grace of a full recovery, Lord, and bring them back, Lord, and heal their emotions from just this horrendous episode that they went through, Lord. Just heal their soul, Lord, and heal their bodies. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, just the battle is no less fierce spiritually than it is in the real world, like you just described what happened with this commander. So we have to understand, and there's a death involved, not a physical death, but an everlasting, an eternal death that people have to face when they lose this battle. So there's only going to be winners or losers at the end, Jess. There'll be no second. There's no second prize for
no
coming
do-overs.
In second. Yeah, no do-overs. You're gonna either heaven or hell. That's what it is.
Eddie, and there's no, can I get a participation trophy? I tried. I at least tried.
Yeah, no, you know what? That doesn't work.
And, Eddie, let me mention one thing about prayer and divine mercy, and we'll probably pick up on the other stuff maybe on the next time we meet together, because this is so important. And remember, because some people, I was explaining this to some men the other day, and I just pieced this together from Catholic thought. People say, okay, well, why is prayer so effective? Okay. Now, Eddie, you and I, we carry guns. And in fact, you worked at the range for the Highway Patrol probably for many years. You were an instructor in for teaching officers how to discharge their weapons. When you squeeze the trigger, a bullet projects from the barrel of the gun. So notice the word that I'm using specifically, projects from the barrel of a gun. This is exactly what happens with prayer. Prayer comes from our soul, but the words project out of our mouth, or the thoughts project out of our mind. So where are they projecting? Out into the cosmos. What does cosmos mean? Well, in the Bible, it means the word means heavenly places, the cosmos. So we're not projecting our words into a trash can. We're not projecting our words into a pit. We're projecting our words into the air, into heavenly places, into the cosmos. Okay. Where do demons reside? The Bible tells us demons reside in the air. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Many other places. The Bible is very clear. Demons reside in the air. In fact, they're called the powers and princes of the air, the powers in the heavenly places, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, Ephesians 6:12. The Bible's clear. So what happens to our prayers when they project out of our mouth like bullets, okay? Well, the theology of prayer, based on the Bible, Psalm 141, verse 2, our prayers rise up into the air like incense. Ah. Our prayers come out from our soul, out of our mouth, into the air like incense. Where do demons reside? They reside in the air. So our prayers have an offensive nature. Okay? It's like a bullet. It's a weapon. There's an offensive nature to our prayers. Why do I say that? Because all prayers taken from the Word of God. And the Bible describes the Word of God as an offensive weapon. For example, it says in Revelation 1:16 that the Word of God is a two-edged sword come out of his mouth, coming out of the mouth of Jesus. It's like a sword. What's that? The proclamation of the Word is like a sword coming out of his mouth, an offensive weapon. The Bible says in Revelation 19:16 that Jesus, when he comes back, he will strike the nations, the wicked nations, with a sharp sword that comes out of his mouth. What's that? The proclamation of the Word that comes out of his mouth. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, 29, it says, "Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer which breaks rocks in pieces?" Ah, so our God's word that comes out of our mouth is like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4, it says that God's word is like the rod out of a mouth and with the breath of his lips that will slay the wicked. So when we look at the Bible, Psalm 64, verse 8, God shoots an arrow at them. In a moment, they are struck down. Whoa, God shoots an arrow at them. And in a moment, they're struck down. What's he shooting? The word of God, prayer, the proclamation of the word. So when Catholics are proclaiming the word of God, it's like a sword coming out of our mouth. It's like a hammer smashing rocks. It's like an arrow striking down angels in the heavenly places. Our prayer has an offensive nature to it, like a bullet projecting from a gun. Prayers project from your soul and your mouth. And this is what injures demons. Demons are injured by your prayers. This is very clear in the tradition of the Catholic Church. You even have, you know, saints, many saints like Saint Faustina. Well, St. Faustina said that, yeah. St. Faustina said that that prayer for us, God has given us prayer for combat. I'll find out the diary where she said it. Pope Leo XIII says Christians were made for combat. Well, the combat that we're in is, remember, Eddie, you remember the old saying, people said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me?
Yes.
That's not true when it comes to demons. The opposite's true. Sticks and stones do not hurt demons at all because they don't have a body. What hurts demons? The word of God. Words hurt demons. Sticks and stones hurt you and me. They don't hurt demons. What hurts them is the word, specifically not politics, not Shakespeare, the word of God. And that's what Catholics pray. All our prayers are based on the word of God that we're projecting out of our mouth. It has an offensive nature to it. Eddie?
Just, and this is, and that's on a supernatural level. Obviously, God is God, and nobody has that kind of power. However, we're talking about possible possession. We're talking about freeing ourselves from being afflicted. So when the demons, and that's when we're emulating the demons, when somebody, for example, makes a chant or some kind of oration during a satanic ritual, that has a lesser, of course, much lesser, but there's still an effect on us. I'll give you a quick story. Just yesterday, we were praying for somebody who was an actor who made a movie, who got into a coffin and heard some people sing a chant over him. And since that day, he's been hearing things. Things have been moving around his house. There's other phenomenon occurring. However, that's where it started. And he was not in any kind of mortal sin before that, Catholic gentleman. And guess what? The power, it turns out that the people that were praying over him were actually Satanists. So they said actual prayers during the making of a movie, and this is what got him into trouble. So there's a lesser amount of power from demons and human beings emulating what the demons suggest, And there's a certain power there, and that's what gets us in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, I found Faustina's quote, Eddie. Diary 146. By prayer, a soul arms itself for all kinds of combat.
Yep.
There you go.
Combat.
Yeah. St. Faustina, 146. By prayer, a soul arms itself for all kinds of combat. That's what prayer does. It has an offensive nature to it. And the only reason, by the way, the only reason that our prayer is effective, there's only one reason. It's simple. Here's Catholic theology. Because of your baptism. That's it. Because baptism makes you a son of God in the Son. Your son's in the Son. If you're not a son in the Son, your prayer has no power. I'm going to tell you right now. This is Catholic theology. I know it's going to offend some people, so what? The only reason our prayer is powerful and effective, even if you're possessed, because you're baptized. You're a son in the Son. Eddie, done.
Yes, and the people who are the most powerful when they're cooperating with this grace of God is when they're sick, when they're afflicted and suffering, like now we are going through with this coronavirus, this pandemic. We have power that we don't realize. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jesus 911. We're starting off the week. Stay tuned for Gary Masuda from Hands on Apologetics. We'll see you next time. God bless you. And remember our war cry, who is like unto God? Quis ut Deus. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.